Let's begin with another story. This is one of my favorite stories, I believe. I read it in Zen Speaks. I could be wrong. Once upon a time, there was a man who had very small field. So he had to work from morning to evening, literally, 7 days a week, to feed his family. And even if he worked so hard, there was not enough. So he decided to cultivate this barren land by himself. So he went there and he was working now even extra hours. Maybe God was in favor of him. He found this golden statue of Buddha, which was one of the legendary 18 golden statues. It was a national treasure. So, well, as the custom was, he reported to the palace. And of course, king took it, but gave him a good ransom, huge money, reward. With that money, his family, children after children, don't even need to worry about it anymore. He could buy a big house, and he could buy many more fields. So everybody was celebrating, having a big feast. But in the middle of this, there's one person who was not happy. It was him, sitting at the corner, kind of frowned, and eyes a little bit lost. So a friend of him came and asked him, "What's wrong with you? You should celebrate." And he said, "I just wonder where are the 17 other golden Buddha statues?" "There are 17 more. I found one right here. Maybe I can find more." So, who caused this sadness? Was he ever happy? I'm not sure. He had everything that he wanted. He wished. Then, when he had it, was not enough. If you read the story very carefully and look somewhat, if you read Luke, especially among four Gospels, you see that he does not really like Jews too much. But it's not actually he's against them, but because he was writing this Gospel to, most likely, Romans. Or people with Hellenistic background. So that's why it's there's a little extra emotion involved in it. But today's scripture in Luke, it's right after the temptation. That's how Luke goes. Right after temptation, Jesus was filled with Spirit and he just started his ministry, going through the region of Galilee and healing a lot of people and proclaiming the good news. Now he came to his hometown. And he did this somewhat very ritualistic, symbolic way of showing that he is the one. And people said, "Isn't that Joseph's son?" Mm-hmm. "Isn't that Joseph's son, by the way? Joseph the carpenter? How could this carpenter guy become a prophet?" Even proclaiming he is the one. That's in this short question, "Isn't that Joseph's son?" How it contains all that. Everything that people somehow kind of doubt or look down on. This is carpenter's son. How could he be the teacher, rabbi, or prophet? Now he's talking about Messiah. Was he really Joseph's son? Do you know the answer for that question? Was he really Joseph's son?
No.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. Yet, he grew up like Joseph's son. He was known to the people like Joseph's son. Somehow, even if he's showing this with all capability, all ability, he has been transformed. He has gained his true identity. And standing up in front of them, and I'm probably prepared to bless them, saying that I am the one, and I came back to my own village. And their welcoming message was, "Aren't you Joseph's son?" In a way, totally taking off this transformed side and just going back to this old side. "Aren't you that little guy played at the corner messing up with my son?" You know, that's kind of the question. In a way, it might have been true. But in another way, what it says is they somehow shifted their mind fully. Like, in one second, they were so welcoming and so thankful to his words and teaching. And the next moment, "Oh, by the way, that's Joseph's son." What happens in this split second? Their mind goes from being holy to unholy. And it happens to us too. It happens more often than we want it to be. I believe you all have this good mind. And I believe all of us wants to operate with this good mind more, or good side of yourself. Then we also know that somehow we're overtaken by this the other side of our mind, which is not quite good, but which is very skillful, right? And very manipulative too, that it gives the justification of why you have to follow this way, not the other way. Even though you are clear that this is totally against my good side, but can't help somehow to follow. And according to Swedenborg, that written here in the line saying, "They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built." What's the connection? This is part that I really love Swedenborg about his correspondences. Hill means charity. Hill means something that's good. Good work. So they build town on top of hill means town is doctrine, truth. But this is a truth that is understood, accepted, and applied truth that you use in your life. So essentially, you build a good principle based on good intentions and good actions, charity or love. The base of truth is love. And that's how the town was built. But town was not there. Town has moved. See? To another place. Now they are bringing Jesus to this place to kill him. Now you have to apply the opposite side of the correspondence. When it's applied to opposite side, this becomes selfishness, evil, arrogance, and this town becomes falsity. In a way, sometimes what makes us to reject to do the obvious good
to live the life that we want to live? Is self-justification about what I am doing the other way is good too? And that's this place. And that's where these people wanted to kill Jesus. So in another way of saying, when somebody comes against me about what I believe to be right, I am offended. Probably to the point that I'm willing to kill it. Why? Because I believe this is so right. How can you say anything else? And this is the message. Somehow, yet Jesus triggered all that. Isn't that interesting? He triggered. He didn't have to go this far. But somehow he triggered. And there is a message to us, isn't it? And the message I see is, think about it really. This town was built on a hill. The town Nazareth. Where Jesus grew up. This town was based on love. Love was the foundation of this town. And when love is the base, the truth that goes on top of it means the best way to make the love real. With all my understanding about Swedenborg, if I may simplify the divine providence into one sentence, that's about God, the way that God tries to make God's love for us almost the best, most proper way possible. In a way, this truth may be harsh when you felt it. Why? Because it may go against what you believe. Yet, there is different life. And most important thing is, it's only revealed to us when we are prepared. That's why in Swedenborg's understanding, our spiritual journey starts only when we are ready. And something we call temptation. Temptation only happens only when we see the truth as truth. Otherwise, temptation does not happen. So, again, I am speaking a lot today, reading the scripture, trying to show something to you. Or my goal is trying to make you feel something. Now, the question is, who is the one who take it and make it real for you? I know it's not me. And I also know it's not God. And probably then you know the answer. Yes. You are the one who makes the cage to lock you in. Therefore, you have to be the one who unlock it and undone the cage. This cage could be as the sin or the evil or bad habits or whatever that is. But we are the maker of it somehow. Things happen to us, yes. World goes crazy. As it is. As it was. As it will be. They're good people, they're bad people. As always. Good things happen, bad things happen. Now, the way you perceive, the way you see the world, the way you project, who makes that? Yes, you make it. And as far as I understand and I know, that's the message not only from this book, that's also a message from Buddhism, that's a message from Taoism, Confucianism, I bet a message from Islam too. However,
to do that, you need to go steps of spiritual training. You need to train yourself too. And that's probably why you're here. And with blessing of God, that's why we're reading this scripture today too. And this scripture kind of focuses on change. The last question to you is, do you believe people can change or not? And you know what another question that I might ask you too. Can you change?